Navigation requires skill and precision. You need to know what you're doing if you want to avoid deadly obstacles and avert disaster along the way. And you know there's a parallel in the life of your church, a skill set that you need to learn if you want to avoid spiritual disaster. John MacArthur introduces it to you on today's Grace to You Weekend. Hear about the pilot from England who suffered a stroke and found himself totally blind at 15,000 feet and yet still landed the plane? He wouldn't have survived without the heroic intervention of another pilot who flew within 3,000 feet of the stricken pilot Cessna and guided it down, radioing precise navigation directions to the injured man. Well, like that disabled pilot, many churches are in effect flying blind today, unable to distinguish truth from error. But that doesn't have to be the case. There is help at your side, as John MacArthur will show you today. Find out how to use the spiritual assistance that's at your disposal. As John begins an important study here on Grace to You Weekend, simply titled A Plea for Discernment. Now, John originally preached this series in chapel at the Master's College, where he serves as president. But no matter your age, you'll benefit from the principles for discernment that John will look at today. Here he is with the lesson.
People ask me this all the time. What's the greatest need in the church today? What is the most compelling need? What do you see as the biggest problem in Christianity, the biggest problem in the church? It's simple for me to answer that. Biggest problem in the church today is the absence of discernment. It's a lack of discernment. It's the biggest problem with Christian people. They make bad choices. They accept the wrong thing. They accept the wrong theology. They are prone to the wrong teaching. They're unwise in who they follow, what they listen to, and what they read. So it seems to me that if any problem outstrips the other problems in the church, and if any problem outstrips the other problems in an individual Christian's life, this growing lack of spiritual discrimination is, in my judgment, the main issue. And so this is the issue that I want to talk about a little bit, the ability to distinguish between the false and the true, which is essential and possible for you as a Christian in order that you might make the right decision. And I can tell you as a pastor, I can tell you as a president, that's a great fear that I have for you. It's happened with people who have gone through the college and graduated and been led astray into some false teaching that dishonors God, some lies. And then it boils down, too, to the decisions that you make day in and day out that affect the course of your life. Manifesting discernment at that level is critical as well. Now, I want to take you to the main passage that we're going to be dealing with, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 20, 21, and 22. And that's where we want to focus. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, this is virtually a call to discernment. A call to discernment. Let's go back and just kind of take the text apart. Verse 20, do not despise, do not downgrade, that's what that Greek word means, prophetic utterances. What he's saying is, do not despise preaching. Do not despise the presentation of the divine will. But while you're hearing preaching and while you're elevating prophetaos, the gift of interpreting and proclaiming the divine will, do this. Examine everything carefully. Test everything you hear to determine what's true. And, he says, what you find is good, cling to it. Hold on to it. On the other hand, verse 22, whatever comes across as evil, whatever its schema, whatever its form, the word abstain means push it away from you. You have to be able to make that distinction. Precision is everything. Discernment is everything. I mean, if you were to go to the medical doctor and you are having severe headaches, debilitating headaches. You went to the doctor and the doctor said, well, could be a lot of things. Could be a fatal brain tumor growing, or it could be too much sugar, drinking too much soda pop, or it could be just being out in the sun. But you're welcome to believe anything you want. That's not helpful. The one thing you want to know is the truth about your condition. Why, if we demand such precision with that regard, do we not demand precision in the spiritual realm and in the interpretation of divine truth? Test everything. It was said of King David, 2 Samuel 14:17, that he was able to discern good and evil. Paul said, learn what is pleasing to the Lord. It's the same thing. Hold on to what you determine is kalos. Good is the word kalos. It doesn't mean good in a sense of beautiful. That's agathos. That's where the old name Agatha came from. It means beautiful. Agathos is something that has the appearance of goodness or the appearance that is desirable or lovely. Kalos is what is inherently noble, what is inherently true, what is inherently right and righteous and genuine. So when you're listening to the preaching or when you're reading what's written or when you're hearing somebody espouse something, examine it carefully. Put it to the test. And the test is always the scripture, like the Bereans who searched the scriptures to see if these things were so. And when you determine that something is good, cling to it, grip it, clutch it. And on the other hand, as I said in verse 22, if it is not good, if it is evil in any form, the word literally means shun it. Apa is the prefix. Hold it far away from you. Separate yourself completely from it. Don't sit under it. Don't expose your mind to it. It has a corrupting influence. And evil, by the way, is always understood in an active sense. It's never something static. You can't ever play with evil as if it were something completely objective, something fixed, something static. Evil is always presented in Scripture as something malignant, something harmful, something working disaster, something growing, corrupting, defiling, and influencing and injuring everything it touches. Evil is like poison. It is like an infectious disease. Stay away from it like you would stay away from a plague. So this then is a call for discernment. And this is such a critical thing, and I can't emphasize it too strongly, young people. Your value to the kingdom of God, your value as a Christian, as one who serves Christ, is going to be directly related to your discernment regarding the truth. Also, the blessedness, the productivity, the fruitfulness, the joy of your Christian life is going to be directly related to your ability to discern, because that's going to aid you to make good choices. And so I say that when the church loses its ability to discern, it puts itself in a disastrous situation. Absolutely disastrous. I think evangelical, biblical Christianity is fighting for its life, and the reason it's fighting for its life is because it's lost its discernment. I can't even keep up with all the aberrations. I can't keep up with all the theological aberrations that are coming out of the evangelical movement. Staggering to me. Now, with that sort of as a foundation, we're going to ask some questions this week, and then we're going to get to some practical application regarding discernment. But let me start with an initial question that sort of fills out our thinking. Why is there such a lack of discernment? It's obvious it's there. The question is, why is it there? What has contributed to this? And simply, I'll give you the main contributor, is a weakening of doctrinal clarity and conviction. It's a weakening of doctrinal clarity and conviction. There were much better times in the history of the church when Christians were encouraged to think biblically, to think theologically, to think precisely, to search the scriptures thoroughly, to distinguish carefully its truths. Churches weren't in the hands of pastors and leaders who didn't think deeply or clearly or precisely. or carefully about the Word of God. Theology will disappear in the hands of novices. That's very, very obvious. Especially in an environment where there's no real persecution. Today, if you take a strong stand on a theological issue, you're criticized. I know because I'm criticized quite frequently, pretty much routinely. I remember going to lunch when I wrote the book, The Gospel According to Jesus, a very well-known pastor took me to lunch and he said, "Your book is a problem, big problem." And I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "It's divisive. It's dividing the body of Christ. It's a severe problem. It's causing a huge division in the church." And I said, "Well, I think I'm aware of that." But I said, "Can I ask you a question? Is it true? Is what I wrote true? Because that's all I'm responsible for. I'm only responsible to teach the truth of God. Just because it creates chaos doesn't change my responsibility." Jesus came and he preached the truth and they killed him. But it didn't change the fact that he preached the truth. Paul preached the truth and they killed him. All the apostles preached the truth and they killed all but one of them and they exiled him to Patmos. It's just about the truth. That's all it's about. And he said, "Well, I don't agree with you." "Oh," so I said, "the issue is you don't agree with me theologically. So we need to talk about that. You need to read the book. It's just about the truth." But when the superficial unity overpowers the role of the truth, you have obvious problems. So the fact that there's this tolerance and this disdain for precision and doctrine and clarity in understanding the Word of God is not because people disagree when they've done the hard work in the text. It's because people who haven't done the hard work in the text want to be accepted in the mainstream of evangelicalism without anybody questioning what they believe. This is not an accident, believe me, because what Satan would want to do more than anything else is to become powerful in the church by getting the church not to make an issue out of a right interpretation of Scripture. Just tolerate everything and lack precision and conviction. There is very little doctrinal clarity today, very little conviction about doctrine. There's just the death of clarity in doctrine, and with the death of clarity comes the death of conviction. And so what we want to do as we go through our education here, certainly in your behalf, is to make sure you get your theology right. And it comes right out of the Scripture. There is a movement that slowed down now as the Vineyard Movement. The real architects of the Vineyard Movement, John Wimber and another guy in England, David Watson, they led the charge of relativism into the church. They really did. Certainly David Watson led the charge of relativism into the Church of England and partnered up with the Vineyard here. They were really some prime movers in the early years of sapping the church of its doctrinal confession and conviction. And this is what David Watson said. Now, David Watson was an Anglican, and this is what he said. "The reason I travel with a team," he has a kind of a music praise team, "the reason I travel with a team gifted as they are in the performing arts is that they are able to communicate the gospel much more effectively than I could with mere words." What in the world does that mean? You can communicate the gospel more effectively through performing arts than through words? God didn't give us a music video. He gave us a book. These are words. And words demand precision. The reason God gave us a book is because printed material is frozen. And that leads to evaluation, assessment, comparison, contrast, exegesis. It's there. It's unchanging. Not one jot or tittle will ever pass away of this eternal word. There isn't any performing arts that are going to communicate the gospel more effectively than the words which God has given us. So go back 30 years to the Vineyard Movement, and you're going to find that they began to bring relativism into the church to replace the written word with entertainment, performing arts, because the word couldn't convey the truth of God in a relevant way, they said. They were really saying that relevant Christianity is not mental, it's not rational, it's not doctrinal, it's psychological, it's emotional, it's experiential, it's mystical. So that's what we've got, experience and emotion and sort of Christian mysticism in the church without real doctrinal conviction. That's the first reason why discernment has disappeared. Because if you don't have sound doctrine and you don't hold with all your passion to the conviction that those doctrines should bring to you, then you have no standard by which to discern anything. Because you have no fixed point by which to measure anything. I have a doctrine that I believe with all my heart. It's the doctrine of the Trinity. So when somebody comes along and says God is not three in one, I say that's a lie, right? I have a doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ that says he is the God-man. So when the Gnostics come along and say Jesus is a created emanation that descended from God down the long chain of emanations and is an elevated angel, I say that's a lie because I understand the Bible teaches that he is God. The Bible teaches the doctrine of justification. If somebody comes along and writes a book and says you can be saved without ever hearing the gospel, or you can be saved by believing in Jesus Christ, not necessarily believing in the doctrine of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, I say that's not true. That's a lie. I don't care who said that. I don't care who wrote that. That's contrary to the truth which is established in Scripture. So the point is, you can't even have discernment unless you have the fixed standard. That's why it's absolutely critical that you know theology. Look, the theology that has come down to us from the Word of God has been protected and preserved and fought for millennia. Here we are fighting for it today, no different than at any other time. They've been fighting for it, the Christians who believed the truth, for 2,000 years fighting to hold on to this, earnestly contending for the faith, preserving, protecting, guarding the faith. And it comes down to us intact. And then we've got this willy-nilly, superficial kind of quasi-Christianity floating around that doesn't want to say anything for sure. And that's how you lose the faith altogether. So you have to stand where the Bible is crystal clear on these issues, and that's the fixed points. They don't change, they don't move. And by that, you begin to measure. And then you go from there to matters of sanctification and matters even of discerning the will of God and matters of sin and righteousness. And you know exactly what the Bible teaches. You know exactly what the Bible teaches about divorce. You know what the Bible teaches about issues like abortion, homosexuality, fornication, premarital sex. You know what the Bible teaches about cheating, about covetousness, about materialism. You know all of those things. Those are fixed in the Word of God with unmistakable clarity. They have to then become convictions, and against the plumb line of those great truths, you make choices. And you have discernment. If you don't affirm those doctrines, then you can't be discerning whatsoever. So if we're going to be discerning, we have to start with a conviction about sound doctrine. That's why in this institution, the entire faculty agree on a doctrinal statement. The most lengthy one of any Christian college that I know of in America. Because that's the standard by which everything is then discerned. I thank God for the faculty from all the various places they've come. They agree completely on these great truths. Not because I told them to or our administration told them to, but because they're reading the same Bible. That's where discernment starts.
That's John MacArthur speaking on the campus of the Master's College, where he serves as president. The title of this study on Grace to You Weekend, A Plea for Discernment. Now, of course, the need for Christians to be discerning is nothing new. But, John, would you say that the church's discernment is being tested today in ways that are truly brand new? Or is it just the same old error addressed to new clothes?
Well, one of the things, of course, that Satan always does is change the dress, as you put it, change the form. But same old errors, they've always been around. There's nothing new about them. They are addressed in Scripture. They are countered in Scripture. They are destroyed by the truth of the Word of God. But sure, Satan doesn't hang around very long with his error dressed in the same clothes. It's always a shifting, moving target. It's critically important, then, that we understand the truth, because no matter what the error is, if you understand the truth, the error is then exposed. And, of course, this is a series, as you know, coming from chapel at the Master's College, where I have the privilege of serving as president. We try to use every possible means to build discernment into the hearts of our young people and everybody else we can. Along that line, there's a book called Fool's Gold. I had a part in it a little bit, and the leadership at Grace Community Church, where I pastor, came alongside me, and we put together this strong book that has chapters such as The Purpose-Driven Trend, Contemporary Music and Worship, Invitations and Altar Calls, Exercising Discernment in a Local Christian Bookstore, and many more. Got to beware of fool's gold, counterfeit. Here's the good news. We'll send it free if you've never called or written us before. If you have and you're on our mailing list, you can order one at a nominal price.
Again, the book, Fool's Gold, is free if you've never contacted us before. Learn how to approach some of the most controversial topics in the church today from a biblical perspective. Get your free copy. You can request it. It's called Fool's Gold. If you write to us via email, that address is letters@gty.org. letters@gty.org. If you're using the regular mail, that address is Grace to You Weekend, Post Office Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. Or you can call us anytime toll-free at 1-800-55-GRACE. Now, if you have emailed to us or written us or called us in the past, you can purchase Fool's Gold at a reasonable price. Order Fool's Gold or any of our resources by calling toll-free 1-800-55-GRACE or go to the Grace to You website, gty.org. While you're online, take a moment and search the 3,000 sermon titles now available by John. They're free in the MP3 download. Search by title or scripture reference, even the date that John first preached the sermon. You can download any of John's lessons free online at gty.org. And now for John MacArthur and the entire staff, I'm Carl Miller. Thanking you for tuning in today. Don't miss Grace to You Television Sundays on DirecTV Channel 378. And remember, you can also watch online at gty.org. Then keep in mind our daily radio program is heard Monday through Friday. Check for local listings of your stations in your area. And then be here as we continue celebrating 40 years of unleashing God's truth, one verse at a time, on the next Grace to You Weekend.